be with you guys tonight. You might find it helpful to have open Luke chapter 11 that we read earlier, if you'd like to follow. And this is what we're going to be thinking about now. So I want you to imagine that you are teaching a Sunday school class. And you're teaching about prayer. That's the topic that you've been given. And while you're teaching, a little girl at the front sticks up her hand and asks the question, "So, will God give me anything that I pray for?" I wonder how you would answer. Or perhaps you'd be chatting to an elderly Christian couple after the service one Sunday, and they're telling you about one of their children who's sadly turned from the Lord. And they tell you, "We pray every day, and it just seems to get more difficult." Perhaps this issue is even more personal to you. Maybe right now you can think of something that you have been praying for a long time. You've given up, you've started again, you've cried out to God, and there's no answer. And it seems like the skies are made of brass. What do we believe about prayer? What do we actually believe when it comes down to it? What can we believe about prayer? What does Jesus guarantee us? What can we hang on to? What are the promises? These are the questions that we're going to be exploring today from Luke 11. You probably know this passage quite well. This is the passage where Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, or at least one of the passages where Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer that is given for Christians to follow. It comes with some teaching about the manner in which we are to pray. And I think that the one thing we can say stands out from this passage about Jesus teaching on prayer is this. Jesus is very honest about prayer. Jesus is very honest about prayer. And this evening we're going to think about the general issues surrounding this topic. And we're going to look at three things that Jesus is very honest about when it comes to prayer. And hopefully through that, we can be encouraged to pray more and we can understand better what we are able to pray about and how we should be able to pray. So we're going to think about three things that Jesus is honest about when it comes to prayer. The first is this. Jesus is honest about what we are like. We as human beings. Jesus is honest about what we are like. You can see this in the last verse that we read, verse 13. "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I don't know if you spotted it. It's not the main point of the sentence. It's just casually thrown in by Jesus in that sentence. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts." Jesus takes for granted the fact that we as human beings are evil. I wonder if you think about yourself in that way. I wonder if you understand that as a human being who's fallen and is not as holy as we should be, you are evil. I wonder if that is how you think of yourself. As we think about prayer, it is important to remember the facts about who we are when we come to God. Jesus says it as though it's something obvious that we should always factor in, the fact that we are evil. Even in the sample prayer that Jesus gives, a significant portion of the prayer is given to things like asking for help in temptation and asking for forgiveness from sins. Why do we need help in temptation? It's because we are easily tempted. And why do we need forgiveness from sins? It's because we do sin. When we come to God, we need to remember that God is holy and pure. And we, by contrast, are evil. We should not take prayer for granted. We should appreciate what a great gift prayer is. That we who are evil, who need constant forgiveness and constant help not to sin, we are able to come to a God who is holy. So the first thing that Jesus is honest about is that we are evil. But the other way that he's honest about what we are like, that's not the only thing that he says about us, because if that was the only thing he said about us, that would be very depressing, and we would probably lose all hope of ever being able to pray. But he also tells us that we are God's children. We are God's children. It's vital to remember that in spite of our being evil and unworthy, we can start our prayer, "Our Father." We can approach God as a father. Now, at this point in the sermon, I do have to pause and add a caveat and say, well, if God is going to hear your prayers at all, then you do have to be his child. And so if you do happen to be here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not a child of God who knows God as Father through trusting in Jesus Christ. If that isn't true of you, then there are no promises given about your prayers being heard. It is only children of God who God will answer the prayers of. Because as we just saw, if you are not a child of God, then the only thing you have going for you is that you are evil. And that is no condition in which to approach God. So before we carry on, I need to tell you that if you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you only need to have one take home from this message, and that is you need to become God's child. Make sure that that God becomes your father. God is a wonderful father to have, as we are going to see shortly. And if he is not your father, you need to make sure that that is fixed. You need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. But for those of us who are God's children, we need to remember what the fact that we are God's children means for prayer. When we pray, we are not coming to some cruel overlord. We are not coming to some tribal deity, the sort of thing that pagans imagine, an angry and hateful and bitter God. God is not some enemy king who we have to beg the favor of. We pray to our Father. Jesus tells us to start our prayer, Father. As God's children, we can be confident that he will listen to us. You might have heard this illustration before, but the person who is not afraid to approach a mighty ruler to ask for a favor is the child of that ruler. If I were to go to America and I thought to myself, do you know what I really fancy? I would really fancy owning a big hotel in New York. That would be really great. I would be able to make a lot of money that way. What I'll do, I'll go to the White House and I'll go to Donald Trump and I'll say to him, hey, you've got a few hotels lying around. Would you be so kind as to just give me one? Do me a favor. That'd be really nice of you. That'd be really great. I could really use a hotel. Is that ever going to work? I wouldn't even get to the gate. I'd probably be shot. But it's a very different story if the person going to ask President Trump for a favor is his young son, Baron Trump. Baron Trump doesn't need to worry approaching President Trump for a favor because he's his child. The son of a ruler, the child of a ruler, doesn't need to be scared in approaching that ruler. And so we can be confident in approaching God as our father. Because children don't need to be scared approaching their father. And we can be all the more confident in approaching God as our father because of the next thing that Jesus is honest about. So Jesus has been honest about what we are like, that we are evil, but that we are God's children. Jesus is honest, secondly, about what the Father is like. God the Father is generous, and he's not unkind. God is generous and not unkind. Never let yourself fall into the trap of seeing prayer as some kind of nasty trick or some kind of torment and cruel joke. I don't know if you've ever heard the story of the monkey's paw. It's a famous Victorian a short story about a monkey's paw that if you hold it and you make a wish, then your wish will come true, but there will be some horrible consequence as well, and you'll really pay for having made that wish. So maybe you'll get a lot of money, but someone you love will die, or something horrible like that. And it can be tempting to see prayer as that kind of thing. Maybe there's a catch. I wonder if you ever pray faithlessly. When you pray, do you worry that God simply doesn't care about what you care about? Do you doubt God's goodness and his willingness to hear you? It's easy to start thinking like that. Oh, well, you say, God knows best, and he's going to do what he's going to do, and And I'll pray my futile prayers at the sky and I'll cross my fingers and just hope that whatever God gives me isn't too hard for me to bear. We probably know that we should be willing to submit to God's will as we pray. And so that's the part that we make sure we're really diligent about. We're really diligent about being willing to do, to have whatever God throws at us, and that's good. But eventually, it goes from being willing to submit to praying fatalistically. Pray and toss a coin and maybe God will hear me, maybe he won't. If it's God's will, I guess it'll happen. It's perhaps a position that we get beaten down into after seeing years worth of prayer go unanswered. Perhaps it makes us feel really godly if we think that way. We think, oh, you know, I'm being stoic about it and I just accept God's will. But that's far away from the image of God that Jesus gives us here. God is not like that. God is a better father than any earthly father. He has all the resources of the world at his disposal. He can do anything. And let's not forget that he chose to make you his child. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Even evil earthly fathers often have soft hearts towards their children. How much more God, who was willing to give Jesus for you to become his child? A child's request means something. Our prayers are not just another post-it note on God's to-do list. Maybe he'll work them into the plan if he can find space. It's not like that. God cares if you've asked for bread or for a fish or for an egg. And you won't get a stone or a serpent or a scorpion. It's so easy to be fatalistic in prayer, to present your requests but not actually think that God cares about them. But God is a good father who cares about his children. However, there is another truth that Jesus is also honest about here. So Jesus is honest about what we are like. We are evil, but we are God's children. Jesus is honest about what the Father is like. He's generous and he's not unkind. And Jesus is also honest about what prayer can feel like. You can see this in verses 5 to 8. He said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Don't bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Jesus is being very honest in this parable about what prayer can feel like. Prayer can feel desperate and sluggish. It can feel like God is really dragging his feet. Maybe this is a familiar feeling to you. You know, in your mind, that God is a good father and that he gives generously to his children. And yet, when you ask God, you feel like this man asking his neighbor for bread. He's unwilling. He doesn't seem to be acting. You don't quickly get an answer. It seems almost like God does not want to help you. Jesus seems to be very clear that God is not unwilling to give good things. He's better than any earthly father. And even earthly fathers are kind to their children. But with this parable, Jesus does not picture prayer as some kind of magical wish fulfillment. It's not like a slot machine or a genie. We don't just ask for whatever we want and bam, there you go. There are times that we will ask, and it will really seem that God is dragging his feet in answering. And we will have to keep asking. In this parable, it seems almost like the man ultimately just annoys his neighbor into giving him bread. There's no other motivation. The neighbor doesn't get up because he's his friend. He gets up because he's been bugged into it. Now, we know that this can't be what is actually going on with God, because God is infinitely patient. It would be impossible to annoy God into giving us something. If that was the way that we needed to pray, we'd never be able to pray for anything. We'd never be able to pester God until he finally gave in. God would be able to put us off forever. And yet, this is how God chooses to relate to us. This is how God chooses to seem. He invites us to be persistent. This is how we are to pray. And Jesus is realistic about how that feels to us. Perhaps you have experience of this. Unanswered prayer. God's seeming unwillingness to grant your request. Even though your request is a good one. And it starts to mess with you. And it starts to make you think, well, maybe I don't understand God at all. Maybe I've got it all wrong. Why isn't this working? This is something that I desperately need. Why isn't God answering me? I think we can take comfort in Jesus' realism here. You know, sometimes we can be tempted to try and find reasons that God hasn't answered our prayers. Sometimes we can start to look for why. You know, people might come to us and tell us, well, the reason that your prayer isn't being answered is because there's something wrong with your faith. You don't believe enough. Or maybe you feel like maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe there's some sin in my life that means that God doesn't hear me. Something's blocking my prayer. Maybe my prayer is too selfish and God won't answer it because I'm not praying about the right thing. Now, I'm not saying that these things can't happen. But if they are the case, then you probably won't have to dig very deep to find them. It'll probably be pretty apparent once you start trying to pray for something, whether it is actually the case that you don't have faith or you're praying for something wrong or there's some sin in your life. And I would suggest that this is often not the case. In this parable, Jesus doesn't imply that there is anything wrong with the man asking for bread. Sometimes it's mysterious and cryptic why God delays. But we can take comfort that it doesn't mean we are in the wrong. If our prayers are going unanswered, it doesn't mean that we're doing something wrong. And we can be encouraged to persist, to be like this man, and to keep asking his neighbor for bread. Keep praying until God does something. So if you do experience unanswered prayer, don't give up. That's very clear in what Jesus teaches. Keep praying. God does answer prayer. Jesus shows us by this parable that we are not in the wrong if we are not answered, and we should keep at it. Now, some of you probably know far more about long and painful and persistent prayer than I do. I'm only young. But God knows. Jesus knows how long you might have been asking and how it feels. And by God's grace, some of you probably know more about long, persistent prayer that has been answered. And that's amazing. But if you are going through unanswered prayer, things that you've been praying for a long time, then you have even more encouragement in verse 8. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Persistent prayer is answered by God. Keep praying. Don't let God go to sleep until he's answered you. So, Jesus is honest when he teaches about prayer. He's honest about what we are like. We are evil, but we are God's children. He's honest about what our Father is like. God is generous, and he's not unkind. Jesus is honest about what prayer can feel like, desperate and sluggish, as though God doesn't care, but we must persist. And because Jesus is honest, here's my encouragement to you. You can pray honestly. You can pray honestly and be honest with God. If God is honest with us, then when we pray to him, we can be honest with him. Here are some things that you might want to be honest with God about. You can be honest about your physical needs. If you look at the Lord's Prayer there in verses 2 to 4, one of the things that Jesus instructs us to ask for is our daily bread. Give us each day our daily bread. God made us, and he knows that we need food every day. Sometimes it's possible to get over spiritual about prayer. It's important to pray for spiritual things, to pray for people's salvation and for the church and for other Christians and for your spiritual growth. But don't think that God is not interested in the physical things as well. God cares about our physical needs, our bodies and food and drink and the everyday. If God wasn't interested in physical things, then he wouldn't have made so many of them. Do you pray every day for your daily bread? Do you pray about your health, about your physical well-being, about the simple, mundane things? We are dependent on God for all of these things, and we can be honest with him about it. Remember that you are God's child. Children depend on their parents. If a baby is hungry, they don't keep it to themselves and be really sneaky about it. They don't pretend that they don't need food. They cry until their parents give them something to eat. Do the same. Don't be ashamed about asking God for physical sustenance. Jesus tells us to. God cares about the physical, the normal things. So we can be honest with God about our physical needs. We can also be honest with God about our spiritual needs. As I said, the spiritual is important. Jesus includes spiritual requests in the prayer that he's given us. He says to pray that our sins will be forgiven. And he says to pray that we would not be led into temptation. Now really, there's a whole sermon in and of itself in asking for forgiveness of sins. But we must pray that our sins will be forgiven. We mustn't hide our sin from God. It's easy, isn't it, to try and hide your sin from God. There's something deep inside us that doesn't want God to know that we're a sinner. We're scared and we don't want to confess to the things that we've done. We're ashamed because we think we should be better. Consciously, we know that God knows about our sin, but it can feel sometimes like, almost like confessing would make you culpable. Don't give in to that feeling. Pray, confess your sins, and always ask that God will forgive them. Psalm 32 puts into words what it's like to experience unconfessed sin. David says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me, and my strength was sapped." It's what it's like to have something on your conscience and not ask God to forgive you. Don't let yourself languish there. Be quick to ask for forgiveness of sins. You know, it's right to feel shame about our sins. Sin is a shameful thing. But think about what Jesus has told us about God. God is a good father. And think about what God has done to make himself your father, sending Jesus. And because of him, your sins can be forgiven. And so confess, be honest with God about your need for forgiveness. He already knows, and he will forgive those who confess. You can also be honest about your need for deliverance from temptation. Jesus says to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." God knows our weaknesses as much as he knows our sin. Jesus especially, because Jesus has been tempted in every way, and yet was without sin. Temptation is never fought by pretending it's not there. If you ignore the things that are luring you, if you ignore the things that are tempting you, that doesn't make them go away. You don't fight it by gritting your teeth and bearing it. Do you think that God will think less of you if you ask for his help in fighting temptation? God knows what you struggle with. Don't hesitate to ask for his help. Do you have trouble with persistent sin? Sin that you keep committing. And you keep trying to give up, but you keep falling to the same thing. Do you frequently have the devil tempting you? Do you pray every day, "Lead me not into temptation"? It's important. It's vital. We need God's help. We can be honest with God about our physical needs and about our spiritual needs. God knows we need forgiveness, and God knows that we need protection from temptation. We can also be honest with God about what we want, not just what we need. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Children do not hide what they want from their parents. Children are often very forthcoming in telling their parents what they would like. If a child wants bread, he asks for bread. And if he wants fish, he asks for fish. Do you ever fear that what you want is not right to pray about? That it would be improper? God does not want us to hold back in prayer. Parents care about the desires of their children, not just their needs. God does not only give you what you need. Look at the world around you. Just think about the design of the human body. God could have made us to live on protein drips or tasteless vitamin pills. But we have tasty food. We have amazing varieties of things that we can enjoy. They don't just keep us alive. I expect many of you have had a delicious Sunday lunch today. Food is not just given to us to keep us sustained. God is a God who gives us more than just what we need. There's more to life than that. God could have made us that we see in black and white, but we see color, and the world is made richer, and we enjoy it. God is not a God who gives you the bare minimum to survive. He is not only interested in what you need, he cares about more than that. And much like the way that God knows what you need, he also knows what you want anyway. God is a good God. He's a no-job-too-big God, and he's a no-job-too-small God. You can always share everything with God. You can ask him for what you want. You can be honest about it. Parents care about their children, and God is the perfect father. So, Jesus is honest with us about prayer. He's honest with us about what we are like, that we are evil, but that we are God's children. He's honest with us about what God is like. God is generous and not unkind. He's honest about what prayer can feel like. And maybe you've experienced the desperate and sluggish prayer that we can go through. And so don't be afraid to be honest with God. Be honest with God about your physical needs. Be honest with God about your spiritual needs. And be honest with God about what you want. Jesus gives us the best example of this honesty. He prayed a prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, God's plan since the start of the world was that Jesus would die on the cross to save sins. Everything in the world was made for that to happen. It all hinged on that one event. And yet, when there were just a few hours to go, Jesus prayed very honestly to his Father, "Take this cup away." He prayed that that wouldn't happen. Jesus never sinned, and yet he prayed a prayer that was the direct opposite of God's purpose. Now, if that is the case, if Jesus can be that honest with God in prayer, then you can pray to God for what you want, for what you're worried about, what you're scared of, what you would like, and what you need. You don't have to fear being honest. Let's pray.